Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
From all of us here at Sip With Me, we wanted to wish you a happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a day where we show gratitude for all the great things that life has given us. And we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning into our show for the last 3 years. In honor of Thanksgiving, we are featuring Delish.com's Pumpkin Spice Mule Cocktail Recipe. It's the fall version of the classic cocktail, the Moscow Mule. To make the Pumpkin Spice Mule, you'll need ice, half a cup of pumpkin pie vodka, 1/4 cup of apple cider, 1 12-ounce can of ginger beer, pumpkin spice, and cinnamon sticks for garnish. Fill 2 copper mugs with ice, divide vodka and apple cider between mugs, then top mugs off with ginger beer. Sprinkle a little pumpkin spice on top and garnish with a cinnamon stick. So grab your pumpkin spice mules, and now let's jump into this week's episode.
Welcome back to the episode. You guys, this week we are slicing things up with a very special local Chicagoan who you may know as the Sandwich King, which is what my mom and brother refer to him as because they are big fans. Emmy-nominated celebrity chef Jeff Morrow was born and raised in Chicago, and we absolutely love that about him. He landed himself on season 7 of the hit show on Food Network Star, and he ultimately won the competition and started his own series, the Emmy-nominated Sandwich King. He co-hosts the hit daytime show and 4-time Emmy-nominated The Kitchen. Jeff is also the host of the primetime game show Kitchen Crash, as well as an author of the best-selling cookbook Come On Over. He also is the proud creator of Morrow Provisions, a brand providing the world with all the foods Jeff and his family grew up loving, eating, and cooking. And if, of course, that was not enough, you guys, Jeff is also the host of his own podcast, Come On Over. So without further ado, Jeff, welcome to Sit With Me.
Thank you guys for having me on. I'm digging your background there, Aaron. I love. I was like, amazing. What does that say? And I was like, duh, obviously it says I love sandwiches. For all those not visually listening right now, he's got a backdrop. That's very inspirational. Thank
Yay,
you.
Yay, I'm glad you like it.
Every time someone prints or uses or says the word sandwiches, I make 6 cents.
Oh.
That's not true. I wish it were true.
It should be true.
Yeah. Got a quarter of the market, yeah.
So, all right. So we're familiar with your work. Our families are familiar with work, as I said. But maybe people that don't know you or who do know you and maybe want a little bit more of a deeper dive on your story, just tell us a little bit about where you grew up and how you got into the world of food.
All right. Great question. I'll give you the abbreviated, truncated version, if you will. I'm born and raised in Chicago and born on the Northwest Side, lived in the Galewood neighborhood till I was about 11. Then we moved to River Forest. And that's where I still live, in River Forest. I've lived in Elmwood Park the last 10 years before River Forest. So I've been in the same square mile Northwest Side radius, always on or about around Johnny's and or Harlem Avenue. So I'm raising my son and he's going to the same schools I went to. So those local Chicagoans.
Oh, those are our goals for sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with this town. Is that you make it here and then you hightail it usually to one of the coastal cities. And
yep.
I've been drawn there. I've lived in LA for 4 years hustling before I got on TV. I went to culinary school in Los Angeles. I worked in restaurants and I started auditioning for Food Network Star whilst living in Los Angeles, but never made it on until I came back home, had my son and planted my soul and my roots back into this city. And it worked out for me. So I always said, you know, if I can get my son to an age and raise him how I was raised in the community with my family, with our friends, with my family who happen to live blocks away. And it's constantly like, my dad's like, I'm outside with an ice cream bar. And I'm like, it's 9:30 in the morning. You know, it's like 9:30 PM. It's not time. Right. So I kind of, my wife and I, who's from here as well, you know, Northwest Side girl, went to Garin, city girl her whole life. So we're like, you know, why fight it? You know, I might have 28% less of a, you know, skyrocketing trajectory of a career, but my career is great. And it's incrementally more in an organic growth.
Yes,
but exactly. It's manageable, and my son is very well adjusted. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's some nice kids in Manhattan and in LA, but a lot I've met. That's all I'll say. But there's something special about this area, especially in this city. And I think it breeds well-rounded, funny people. So, I mean, everything in between a Food Network star and everything, you know, I got into food early. It was like my first jobs were at Taste of Chicago or back in the Touch of Italy festival on Taylor Street. My family's from Taylor Street. My aunt ran that festival, and I'd slang Italian beefs and sausage. And I fell in love with giving people, making food, giving people food, and especially in the deli world, like Taste of Chicago, and, you know, taking tickets and interacting with the, it was a performance, just like the deli case was always a stage for me. And I loved their creativity of cooking and being able to interact at the same time with people and, you know, crack jokes. I was always a class clown throughout all my years in school, you know, in my, 2.4 average can attest to that. But now I get paid for it, I guess. So yeah, that was the whole thing. I was always in food. I was always a performer. And from a young age, I was like, I want to be on television. And then early 20s, and then, you know, I was 21 when I realized that, you know, the pinnacle of food TV is obviously Food Network. How do I get on there? And how do I kind of, you know, prepare myself for that, exercise those muscles? So I always did stand up improv. Mm-hmm. I was Second City here from third grade on, Groundlings in LA, Improv Olympic, all that. I did Tony and Tina's Wedding in Chicago for 4 years, but I always supported myself by cooking. I had a deli in my 20s. And then after I left Tony and Tina's Wedding, we sold the deli, my cousin and I moved out to LA and started, you know, just kind of hustling my own cooking shows, went back to culinary school. So much in between still, but finally landed on Food Network Star, which I won. And that was, I don't know, 11, 12 years ago. And the rest is historidad.
Tell us more about your experience on Food Network Star, because I read somewhere that you auditioned three times, which is crazy. Tell us why you persisted and what that process looked like.
Because I persisted, because I swore that the last time I auditioned, I told my wife that, who's been alongside me since I was 21. We've been together since 2000. And she's gone to all my crappy stand-up shows in the basement of bowling alleys, and every Tony and Tina's, and every stupid thing I did, she supported me along the way, but it was always very realistic. It was like, you need to cook because you need to make money too. You can't just like, she's a nurse. I was just like, you know, you can, a bust out could live off a nurse for a long time. Uh-huh. They make a pretty penny by working very hard, and they deserve that. But I was, the last time I handed in my submission, she's like, I told her, I go, this is it. I'm done with this. I'm never doing this again. I have a good job. My son is one, Lorenzo. We got the, you know, we had a condo in the city off Taylor Street. We were happy. I'm going to open up a deli. I was private chefing for a large mortgage company. So I had four employees. I had two cafes. Like, I had this great job. I'm happy. I had all these big money mortgage guys were going to put money into a deli for me. And I was like, I'm good. I couldn't wait to get rejected again or make it to another round of auditioning and get eventually rejected again. Uh-huh. Couldn't wait. So I actually sent that being like, I can't wait to get rejected so I can move on with my life. Right. And Sarah's like, you press send, you send in this thing. It's it. Our life's going to change forever. And she was right, you know, because a day after that, I pressed send. They called me in for the final round of auditioning in New York. They flew me out. Then she's like, you get on this plane, Jeff. Not only, you know, you're going to win. Not only are you being casted, you're going to win. This is your moment. You've worked. You got the story, the POV, as they used to say on those shows, right? You need your culinary point of view. And mine was sandwiches because I came from the deli world my whole life. And she was right. And that experience, once I got there, was, I'm not even going to lie. Like I have consistent reoccurring nightmares about two things. That's one, Tony and Tina's wedding, which if you don't know, Google it. It was like an Italian American improvised wedding, 350 people a night, six shows a week. It was run by maniacs. They treated us like it was like the worst football camp you can ever imagine. And I got yelled at, chairs thrown at me. I've got more stories about that. That's another time. But like I have reoccurring nightmares about Tony and Tina. Like I'm back in Tony and Tina's and like I'm back on Food Network Star because it was very traumatic. You're gone for 2.5 months and you have nothing. You don't have books, music, movies, TV, magazines, nothing. Very limited contact with home. By limited, I mean like one videotape phone call every 10 days, maybe 7 days. God. And you can't tell them what's happening because of your non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
And that was like 2.5 months of that. And I was like slowly getting more and more depressed, but I knew I had a great shot of winning. So that propelled me through the competition. And I was, you know, able to overcome the homesickness and, you know, my son having zero idea where daddy went. You know, you can't like, it's hard for a 1.5-year-old to understand the finer points of reality competition series and what that entails. So, and plus nobody around besides my immediate family knew what I did. You know, people thought I went to the joint or went to rehab, which were probably at that time weren't too, too far off. But I came back, we were like, tell us, were you in rehab or were you in jail? Be honest. I was like a little bit of both.
No. Yes. Yep. That's the vibe. So on the show, how did you ultimately land on sandwiches and, you know, really make the decision that you were going to go that route and stick with it and, you know, believe that it was going to take you through the end?
Well, it happened when I was doing my submission video and I landed on sandwiches and this point of view because it was such an epiphany too. I was like, damn, I wish I would have done that the previous submissions, you know, because I was always in that world. But I'm glad it happened when it happened because that was my submission. And then day one, I'm like, everybody's like, I like to make cool food or I'm the healthy chef, which never works. Or like I'm the rock and roll chef. You know what I mean? These vague point of views that are nebulous in the way where they changed every week or they were trying to find themselves on this journey. I'm like, I found myself 20 years ago. I know who I am. And like that confidence, knowing that not only I can own this sandwich as I staked my flag in it before anybody else did on Food Network Star or on Food Network for that matter. Nobody's like, I'm going with sandwiches. It's like, duh, right? And coming from the deli world, from my first job, you know, I mean, I've worked at deli since I was 15 years old, you know? And like I said, you know, that was always my stage and that was perfect for me. But when I had that epiphany and I put it on tape, I owned it at that moment. So when everybody else was like, you know, I'm the sensitive chef and I'm the chef that knows how to make food from scratch. You're like, oh my God, I go in there. I'm the sandwich king. I can make any meal into a sandwich, any sandwich into a meal. And I can teach you the finer points of culinary arts through the magic of sandwich construction because every continent, culture, country, neighborhood has a sandwich, right? I defy you to find me any place on this planet that doesn't have some form of sandwich. And that was like, that was it. And I knew I had the best point of view. I just couldn't get too sad, you know, sitting in that IKEA mini twin bunk bed under my buddy, Justin Balmus, who like drank greens all day and would fart on me through the 3/4-inch mattress, which was barely enough filter to. Dude, I'm telling you, I got more stories about that show. It blow your mind, man. Blow your mind. It was crazy. And that was like the heyday of reality shows when they got away with a lot. Uh-huh. Like they treated us like crap.
Yeah.
And we took it
all. Like the Wild West.
Oh my God. I'm glad I won. Obviously, I'm not complaining about the results, but it wasn't like, you know, this wasn't the, you know, the mid-90s real world. You know, I'm not in like a hot tub with co-eds, you know, drinking bubblies. Right. Getting into like chicken fights in the pool. Right. And I think that's what my wife thought. Like, right. Because she doesn't know. She's like, what is, are you on Big Brother? I don't know. Like, are you, I mean, what's going on? How many times have you been in the hot tub with co-eds today? And I'm like, dude, trust me. There's zero hot tubbing going on with this, you know, not the Food Network demographic.
Exactly. What? So you won, which again, great
score.
What was it like winning? And then kind of what happened after you won?
I won. And I knew it was final two. They flew us back. Now, mind you, the show hasn't even, I was home still working. I not only knew I won, I also shot my first season of Sandwich King before they even announced the cast of the new season. So I had to like be super under wraps for many months at my old job, which was like, where were you? A, interacting with the same 300 something people a day. B, what did you go to rehab for? Or C, what were you arrested for? Where did you go? And like the stupid thing, like I came up with, like, I was learning to cure meat in New York under Mario Batali, which is probably in retrospect, not the greatest, but like, that was my lie. It was so stupid. But I knew I won when I flew back and it was the final two on Susie Jimenez was in the final two with me and they flew my family out. Lorenzo was one something, one and change then, one and a half. And she flew her family out. And they only allowed the family on stage that was the family of the winner. And we kind of knew this for some reason before they announced the winner. But before they were like ramping it up, being like, and the winner of season.
Classic and Food Network.
And I heard Lorenzo backstage being like, where's daddy? And I was like, oh my God, he's on stage. God. And then boom, they said Jeff and he ran out. Dude, it was like, talk about stupid, you know, like, like who wins reality shows? A, like that's such a weird way.
The Powerball.
But like that back then, that was a job interview. You know what I mean? Like that was the thing. Like that was my in. And I tried every other way to break into Food Network. I mean, I had contracts with agencies, with production companies for pilots I produced and edited for years in LA. And we had meetings after meetings. It was like, you can't. I was like, screw it. If you can't beat them, join them, you know, and do it the old fashioned way of, you know, trying your luck on a reality show. But after that moment, I was on a plane the next day doing a press tour and I was on Good Morning America, literally. Now, this was not the day after I won. When I went, I had to fly back home and keep this all under wraps for 3 months. And during that 3 months before the show was even the finale, right? That's when my life really changed. My life changed when they announced the cast list and people were like, I knew it. Yeah, I knew it. We called it. We said it was either Top Chef or Food Network star. And I'm like, fantastic. You guys, good for you. I kept my mouth shut so nobody could sue me. And then I it was like literally throughout each week, it went from people trying to guess whether I was in prison or rehab for them being like, come on. Every week was like, you going home this weekend? You going home? Wait, did you win it? You go home? And every week I would make it another. I'd still be on the show. And by the end, it was like, you won it. We know you just left for 2 weeks. We knew you filmed your own show. I'm like, I don't know. I have to go do press for the show. I don't know what you're talking about. And so by the time we announced it, it was one of the most magical moments of my life. Really one of the most memorable. I have two. My wedding, obviously, the birth of my son. But one was when I won, and that was at Festa Italiana. And Ron Onesti, who's the organizer, reached out. He's like, I'd love to do this live broadcast, live on stage of the finale of Food Network. So I was like, please. Of course, knowing my family, and he knows my family well. I mean, it ended up being like 300 people. We bust them in. He had kegs of Peroni for us, all the food bag. It was the most amazing thing. And we did it all live. And it was like this just big blowout. It was a huge celebration. And I remember it was like, you're on this high, right? You're with everybody you love. And then the next day I'm on like a 7 a.m. flight to New York. And then I'm on Good Morning America. And then here and there, Rachel Ray, like it was wild. And life has been quite exciting and abnormal ever since.
It's inspirational, Aaron. I feel like we're crazy. Inspired. Yeah,
you know, crazy. I always surrounded myself with family and their opinions. Yeah. And I took them to heart and I feel like it happened at a good stage in my life. I was, you know, 30, 31 or whatever. I was hungry, but, you know, not too impressionable or malleable to the point where if this career happened when I was 22, who knows? You know, you would have, you get caught up in it all. But I was like, I worked way too hard to get here. I'm not doing anything to jeopardize that or jeopardize my family or my love and dedication to my family coupled with my career. And my son doesn't know anything different. He only knows daddy's a, you know, not, he's 14 now. He's like, you and daddy, you know, he's got the voice now and it's like very, it's not the son that I, you know, he's not the 2 year old. So it's just, you know, I try to lead by example and stay in the neighborhood, I guess. I guess that's the key.
Yeah. So let's fast forward to now. We kind of talked about in the intro, you're the creator of Moro Provisions. Tell our listeners more about it. What products do you offer and where can people find them?
All right. Well, moroprovisions.com, first of all, we have a beautiful website. We've spent a year redoing. We're a little over 2 years old, and it's my baby. I mean, I have three employees, one of them being my sister, who handles all our social media in creative content, and my partner, Lisa, who runs day-to-day stuff, especially when I'm off out east shooting, which is, you know, frequent. But if I'm not on set, I am in the office. We have an office in Lisle, and we sell, first of all, we started with just the world's best jardinera. We're the only manufacturers of craft jardinera, and that could call it that because it's totally custom cuts, five different kinds of peppers, all the vegetables, everything you love about jardinera, nothing weird in there. Like the guy down the street that gives you a jar of homemade jardinera that's got like hunks of garlic in there. Like, this is not the jardinera I grew up eating. So I took the jardinera we grew up eating, if for the Chicagoland listeners, and just made it brighter and better and more colorful and obviously more flavorful. So we have four different kinds of that. That is, you know, my goal was from the beginning of Moro Provisions to be bring jardinera to the nation. Thank God for shows like The Bear on FX. It's really helped propel that. And, you know, I like to think that I'm a pioneer of the jardinera world, especially the craft world. But we also have prime Italian beef kits that come with the appropriate bread, peppers, USDA prime shaved Italian beef, the gravy. Everything you need, if you're even like, you can come to our place in Lisle and pick it up. And it's got all the beef plus 8 jumbo sausages in there, made locally. Like the same family makes a sausage that if you go to Johnny's, Al's, whatever, it's the same sausage, just my specs. And we have butcher boxes and rubs and cheese sauces and all this stuff I love. And I'm like, if I'm going to put my name on something, A, I'm going to grow it organically. Painfully slow sometimes, right? But I'm gonna make sure we stay quality and consistent, and that's what we've done so far. I mean, we just got in our big grocery store after 2 years, just because I'm like, I'm not paying other people to do. I'm gonna do it myself with Lisa, with, and we go take meetings. So we're probably this, if this is November right now, we'll be in 10 to 12 Pete's Fresh Markets around the Chicagoland area. We love Pete's too. We have one in Oak Park here that's like banana. You're like, I want the strangest produce and 14 slabs of ribs.
I am in Europe and 12 other countries at the same time right now.
And it's like always so energetic in there. It's like sports shopping, I like to call it. It's like when you're arguing with like old ladies from four different cultures over who took the number 16 ticket at the deli. I know. But like, you know, we got this, we got an office and a warehouse, and I don't know, man, it is, I was just talking to my wife. Like, I come home and I'm like, it's like all I think about. And I have this podcast and I have a band, like I'm going right here to my band, the Jewel Bags.
Oh, we're saw that. You have an event on Friday, right?
Yes. We're playing, our second annual Halloween, show, at, Distro, the new Distro on Roosevelt in Berwyn. And that takes days a week. And I got this, you know, the podcast in like my day job, which is shooting 3 to 4 television shows simultaneously. It's just, it's bananas, but I'm constantly, you know, dealing with a level of stress, you know, and managing that. But ultimately at the end of the day, I love creating, and these are all like, I love everything I'm doing, you know? I don't know, man. I guess I just like sometimes just need like, sometimes it's just, I just need 6 to 7 beers on a Friday.
Yep.
Nothing else works.
I had to rush to, I'm filming this at work right now. Don't tell my boss, but I had to take Lower Wacker to get here to beat the traffic.
Cause I was smart, like, man. It's the only way. Where do you get off? Post Place? Where do you get off Lower Wacker? I love Lower Wacker.
I get onto Lakeshore Drive. I work up in Rogers Park. So
There ain't any. And where do you live?
I live in Lamont.
You live in Lamont? You got to go to Rogers Park?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I need a couple beers every day too.
Oh my God. You got to listen to a lot of pot. Well, you got to listen to Come On Over. Hey, listen to, I'm sorry. We just did the best. We did a two-part Halloween thing. What I hosted with my little sister, Emily, who also does my socials. I'm one of four siblings. So we rarely have guests. It's mostly my siblings and my parents on as guests, as you know, entertaining as that sounds. but we do have, you know, like we just had Trisha Yearwood on telling her true ghost story along with Sunny Anderson in a whole other episode dedicated to all our listeners. Ghost stories that my sister and I reenact a la old school radio play style with live sound effects and accents and music cues. So you got to listen to it. And I'm telling you what, ma'am, Trisha, it's the beauty of my career. All these relationships I formed over the years with legends, right? Trisha Yearwood, legend, like has no business being my friend. But when I call her up, I'd be like, you got any ghost stories, Trish? She's like, oh my God, I have the best ghost story and a picture to back it up. I'm like, yes, what?
That's amazing.
I'm telling you, it is the best ghost story. And the picture is mind blowing.
Stop.
And I am such a nerd about ghost hunting and ghost hunters.
We are too. Tales.
Yeah,
I love all the programs. I watch them all. I've obsessed over them my whole life since I was a kid, trying to find that proof, whatever, to justify what's out there. Right. Right. It's like all these different, you know, existential reasons. I love ghosts, I'm sure. But I just want to see a ghost video and a picture. This is the best picture of a ghost I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
So you can listen to the story. Tonight. I know. It's really good. Well, that one doesn't drop till this Thursday. So I don't know if you cut this out. But so whenever. But both probably by when this airs, this. So you can go to comeonover.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. But it's the funniest siblings podcast in the world. Yeah, I've said that.
We love our families and we're very close to our families and we basically live with them most of the time. So we definitely empathize with that.
You still in the basement, Aaron? What's going on?
I have my own place, but amount of time I spend in my parents' basement. Where's my permanent address?
Like
probably my parents' house.
Yona, where do you live at?
So I'm in River North, but I'm currently in Glenview at my parents' house, which I spend half the week at with my husband. But we're a big Greek family, so it's like
you have no choice.
You never leave. You know?
You never leave. No, the Greeks are very, very intense.
Yeah,
I love everything about you guys, especially when you get together in a group. It's like Italians times two.
Yeah, it was crazy. I just had my wedding in Greece, and Aaron was my man of honor, and it was intense.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you think? You love her family, Aaron?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I needed a vacation from the vacation, but it was good otherwise.
Yeah.
Sounds about right. Like nothing worse those big family vacations. You guys still, like we still travel. Like I went to Cayman in June and we were 32 people.
Yep.
And like you get back and you're like, first of all, I feel like absolute dog shit. You're like, I drank 6 days in a row, which I never do. You know, too much sun. And you get back, you're like, man, I would love a week away.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I love it. Oh, my God. All right. Well, we end every episode with a round of rapid fire. So we have about 7 questions for you. We just want your first go-to answer.
Oh, jeepers. Okay. Here we go.
All right. Ioana, do you want to start?
Yes. Okay. What's the last cookbook you read?
Oh, Jen Hatmaker's Feed These People, because I just interviewed her. And it's really funny.
Oh, there
it's
is.
Good. I know. That's a shout out to Jen Hatmaker, who's she's a mother of 5. She's crazy. She's perfectly crass. And it's really good. And she's not even a cook nor a chef or anything. But sometimes those are the most accessible books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. All right. What is your favorite type of bun?
I love. Oh, man. Okay. Oh, this is a hard question. I'm going to say let's narrow it down to the burger category, right? Okay. That's where we're encountering most buns. For me, a Martin's sesame seed potato bun, buttered and griddled lightly golden.
You said
Martin's? I defy you. It's squishy, right? And I love the flavor of sesame seeds, but it's well made enough
to
be
package. I know this packaging.
Dude, forget about it. I don't even they're not even my sponsor. I mean, like my sponsor, like I'm a NASCAR racer. But I just walked around with all my bread and meats tattooed on me like this one Haynes beefy tattoo. Yeah, that's a great bun. You can't go wrong. And it's like my favorite burger in Chicago is from the Loyalist, and yet they use that bun.
Okay.
There you Food for thought.
Okay, top three kitchen tools you can't live without.
Oh, a sheet pan, like a half a sheet pan or a sheet tray, whatever people call them, baking pan, you know, jelly rolls, whatever you call them. It is, it's invaluable. You can put a wire rack on it and get circulation of air to crisp up some chicken wings or whatever it may be. You make cookies on it. You can marinate things overnight in your fridge on it, which I do all the time. I mean, it's just like the most versatile, cheap, affordable piece of equipment. Yeah. I also love a heat resistant rubber spatula for scraping stuff, for folding stuff. And my microplane, which I use pretty much exclusively for garlic. Like I've stopped chopping garlic because I'm not a big giant. I don't like to see my garlic. I don't like a huge amount of garlic flavor, but I love the taste of garlic. You understand? So if you're doing a raw application, like a dressing, you just zest it right into the thing. No mucking up your board.
I like
and it just
that.
Melts. And you get unadulterated, pure sweet garlic flavor. Sometimes people get a little much. You go to some of these Italian joints and it's like you get chicken vesuvi or chicken limone or chicken piccata, all the chicken Vito, chicken Louie, chicken Donnie. You get all these chickens and you just see chunks. Like what might be a whole bulb of garlic, it's too much.
Okay.
Like I'm passionate. Is that three? Did I do three? Yeah.
That's three.
All right. Is there another rapid fire? Yes. I'm not short-winded.
What's your go-to comfort food?
Oh, pepperoni pizza.
Oh, I'm having pepperoni pizza for dinner.
Oh, my God. I just had Vito and Nick's last Saturday for the first time on the south side of Chicago. For those listening in Chicagoland, it was the best. I ate so much, and I felt so great afterwards.
Oh, my God. But we for get me, so bloated.
Right. I mean, but it's so cracker thin, and it's just so not a ton of cheese and sausage, but every bite is just perfectly balanced. I love like pizza in general, any form. I mean, I'm that's what I think about more than most things.
That's amazing. Okay, this question might be hard, but if you could only eat one sandwich for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Okay, I want to say pastrami on rye because that's my favorite. I love a great Italian sub, which the city is full of. But if it's every day for the rest of my life, we got to think about longevity and responsibility to my family.
Health.
And that would be like a honey smoked turkey on like, you know, beautiful Toronto bread, 32 inch French loaf cut down with sharp provolone cheese, the turkey, thinly sliced Roma tomatoes, shaved iceberg.
Yes.
Oil and vinegar, right? Maybe even in oil and vinegar, good, saturated only on the top bun.
Oh my God.
Then hot jardinera over there. Forget it. That's it. Yeah. That's what I would have. Okay. Sometimes mustard with the jardinera, which is a very underrated combination on a sub. Just not on an Italian sub. You don't put mustard. That'd be.
That's like my go-to like deli sandwich order. So I have to pizzazz it up with that.
I actually have that recipe in my cookbook. I don't know if anybody's made it. Like the publisher was like, you really want to put a turkey sub rest? I go, trust me, it's the best combo.
All right, my last question. You mentioned the Loyalist, but do you have a favorite restaurant in Chicago that you like to visit?
Dude, I just had what I consider top three meals of my life.
Oh.
And that's like anywhere I've been. Africa, Middle
Big
East,
announcement.
Europe, everywhere. This was Kasama in Chicago, Tim Flores and Jeannie Kwan's restaurant. It's a prefix, you know, tasting menu, 13 course, Filipino inspired cuisine. Not only was the food surprising in like, you know, with the right degree of being whimsical without being like, you know, Alinea, which I've had two unbelievable, like Alinea's top five forever for me. Like I've had amazing experiences there, but this was like homey and approachable And yeah. they are so lovely. And the staff was so lovely. And the wine pairings and cocktail pairings were so, it was, I left there. I don't sleep. You know, I just, I wake up at night. I think I slept so well, even despite having whatever 13 pairings, you know what I mean? But they were small and yes. it was so good and well-timed where I was like, I went to bed elated where I slept like a, like I slept to like 6:45 AM, which for me might as well be noon, you know? And I said that, like, I posted about it. People are like, why are you put where you slept? Like, why you slept? I'm like, because that's how impactful it was. Like, that's how happy this with, it was just my wife and I, and it was a 2.5 hour dinner. And I would rather spend 2.5 hours eating really like world-class food with each course being a new surprise than like go to a concert or go to the theater or fly somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, That's the way I entertain myself, and the food obviously backed it up. And it was, I mean, there's a reason why it's a hot ticket, and I would urge people to go there instantly.
Okay, we'll have double date night deal on it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
There you go.
Okay, so my last question: we're a cocktail based podcast, so do you have a favorite cocktail or non alcoholic beverage of choice?
Non alcoholic beverage. I like Diet Coke. Diet Coke. I like eating a 1.5 pepperoni pizzas with a pitcher of Diet Coke.
Oh my God.
And that was the best part about Nick and Vito's or Vito and Nick's was they gave you the big red plastic cups and a pitcher of pop on the table. And I went with my son and his three buddies. So it was me and like the 4 13-year-olds and we're like drinking pop like the old days. But I love a Maker's Manhattan with a big cube. And that's how, if I'm at a dinner or I'm at a hotel bar, that's how I start the evening or the dinner. I usually only have one, but to me, like that's my favorite cocktail.
Solid choice.
Yeah. Oh,
so there good. Go. Diet Coke. Sometimes rye.
Really good right now.
Yeah, Diet Coke and a cocktail.
Yeah.
I don't drink till Friday. I only drink Fridays and Saturdays usually. Sometimes Sundays.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. We respect.
I make up for lost time, I think.
All right, well, tell everyone where they can find you online.
Do you want my address?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Well, we know where your office is now, and I'm going to come buy some Italian beef.
5000 Varsity Drive in Lisle, Illinois, yeah. we're actually attached to the North American Pizza and Culinary Academy, which is, they host classes. They're the only ones in the state, let alone one of seven in the world that do the accredited Napolitan pizzaiole programs. And they consult for anybody who makes pizza in any style. So I have my offices and all my fulfillment center, my warehouse is attached to it. But we walk through the doors and we have we can use the test kitchen like I did a live from there today. And there's constantly so much pizza around.
Oh my God.
It's like, it is such a dream come true. But, you know, and then we'll make beef and sausage. I'm like, oh my God, how am I not blowing up by the minute? but you can find me at marlprovisions.com. For any of my products, or comeonover.com to listen to the podcast, or at Jeff Morrow on social media, mostly Instagram, sometimes Facebook, rarely Twitter. And yeah, see what I'm up to.
All righty. Well, Jeff, thank you.
Thank you.
And you can watch
The Kitchens on Saturday, 10 a.m. I should probably shut up the show. And Holiday Wars, which begins November 6th, which will be Sundays, 9 p.m., prime time. Where I'm judging cake, giant sculptures made of cake. I'm the host of that. Some other things coming down the road soon. So stay tuned. Dang.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you guys so much
for supporting Chicago businesses and staying local and your thing and keeping
up. Hey, man, when the other two coasts flood and burn, guess where they're coming? Largest fresh body of water. We got the water, kids. And by that time, it's gonna be like summer here all year round.
Yep, it will be. We'll have
look at that. There'll be waves and palm trees. It's gonna be almost like halaka hikalaka.
Thanks for listening to Sip with Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book as well as other exciting Sip with Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.